Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in the on-deck circle. We will talk with the president of the state senate, all that's standing between us and the reign of King Josh here. So they're subpoenaed, they're on, the state senate is. The fact that the money that's the number that's out there is $32 million on security for the governor's mansion, and I believe over at his private home, $1 million that he takes with him, you know, that goes with him when he leaves office. And this guy has played this in the way that Josh Shapiro does. In other words, yes, we want him to be safe. Yes, it's awful this maniac got on there, but he barely, if ever, talks about the reason this guy said publicly he wanted to go after him. And also, no accountability for the state police. How did he get in there with all those guards? And how did he get out that he had to turn himself in, or they had to get it through the girlfriend ultimately? It's a masterpiece of what he does. I'm concerned here in Abington. We've told you, and the Inquirer's coverage of this is not, they give you a link rather than state it themselves about what's going on here with this family that happens to live next door to him. So we'll talk with the president about that, but she is a big proponent of school choice. And of course, he's holding that up. He's the national figure. We have a Democrat who I would say is more progressive, at least on the surface, the governor of Colorado, Polis, who has signed off on this. What does Josh Shapiro have to see or read before he signs off and allows kids across Pennsylvania to get out of the subpar schools they have if it's their choice? His kids, of course, go to private schools. He did too, up and down the line. I believe they're religious schools, and that's obviously his choice. Why not let these other kids have that choice? What is the big holdup? What's the language? He doesn't have anything on that. He's delaying to see where this leads, and he doesn't know what to do. Because I think it would enhance him if he was for it, but the teachers' unions and others would come after him. That's where we are. But $32 million on top of what we're seeing at the House over in Abington. All right, let me go to Drew in Upper Darby on the side question. We'll hopefully hook up with her shortly. Hey, Drew, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Hey, Dom. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Dom. Hey, real quick, March 8th, 1971, Madison Square Garden. That was the first fight. Ali Frazier. Frazier hit Ali with a left hook that would have knocked down the Statue of Liberty. It was the punch heard around the world. It changed the sport, Dom. It really did. It was the most incredible punch I've ever seen. And I'm a big boxing fan. Of course, once Frazier met Big George down in Kingston, Jamaica, that kind of changed a lot of things too.
Yeah, he looked pretty bad. When he got hit, he stumbled pretty badly. I agree. Drew, what's your side?
Yes, okay, Don, real quick. Thank you, man. Back in the mid-19th century, 1850s, I suppose, during the Go West Young Man movement, there was the Donner Party, where like families were heading west with their with their children, and they had their wagons and their horses, and they got stranded in a blizzard that just happened to hit up in Reno, like on the California and Nevada border. They were stranded in this blizzard for months, and they had to resort to cannibalism.
Gotcha, Drew, the Donner Party. All right, Senate President pro tempore, Kim Ward, we're always honored to have her, is back with us in Philadelphia. President, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
How are you?
Very well. And I heard you last week, I think with Dawn, it seemed to be very spirited, the things that are going on in Harrisburg. The one thing you and I have never talked at length, and I wanted to do that at the top, because once we get going on these security things, et cetera, we'll really go to town. And that is school choice. I know you are passionate about this, your own background, et cetera, and you've talked movingly about it. And here we have a golden opportunity with the governor, I think, to not only help kids and families, but to help himself. All he has to do is take the new money.
Right. Oh, I'm hoping that he does that. And it really should be simple. It doesn't affect the budget at all because it's federal.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like they actually used part of Pennsylvania's EITC to model this after the Trump administration did. So it's a lot like what we have now, and it won't affect anything in the state. He should simply take the money.
Why so much school choice with you? What do you see in your own background or what you see in your role across Pennsylvania? What do you think in general this would do? This is only one part of it, the big, beautiful bill.
Yeah,
but in general, doing what he pledged to do, he was following through, and then Matt Bradford and the teachers unions got to him. What would it do in your view?
Well, I just think it would give all of these kids, you know, we tried to start with kids in failing schools, low-income kids in failing schools. It would give them a chance at life. You know, they're not going to graduate without being able to read, write. They will be able to, if they get the proper education, to get a good job or go to college, go to trade school. You know, we're giving them a chance at life. I think we are hurting them and holding them back by not giving them the opportunities to do better. So I think this is something that is so common sense. And, you know, it's just hard to believe it's so hard to get something that simple done. But the power of some of the purse strings of the PSEA and the American Federation of Teachers, which is what is in Philadelphia, it's very strong. They have a lot of control in the Democratic caucus, House caucus, a lot of control.
Exactly. Also, the point you just made there, it's not just Philadelphia. Stacey Garrity, I think, in this campaign is illustrating, and I know you too, know rural Pennsylvania, want to highlight how neglected this has been many, many times. And this would hit school districts. Maybe they're underfunded. I'm not sure what it is. But there are school districts that are substandard in rural Pennsylvania, just like in Philadelphia. It would impact those kids just as much.
It would impact the kids across the spectrum. You know, I think when we're trying to get kids to get their test scores up, I don't see them being any better than they have been before. Pennsylvania ranks number 7 in the country. In the country for funding public education. That's all in, right? That's local, federal, state. 7th in the country. But yet, you know, some in the legislature on the other side of the aisle continue to scream for more and more money. What are you doing with it? We have less students. Show me the money. Show me the results of all of this extra money. You know, they continuously use the court case. Well, the court case said, no, the court case didn't say we had to give them more money. The court case said we had to change our funding formula. It didn't say we have to add money to the funding. It said we have to change the funding formula. So when they keep saying we have to do this for the court case, $567 million last year, $526 million the year before. You know, it's in the governor's budget again. I think we need to talk about this. This is not a given to me. It is not a given. You know, we all want a good education for our kids. So why can't we give them a good education? If they're in a failing school, let them out. Let them out of the failing school. You want to give all this money to public education? Fine. As long as those kids are getting educated and they're able to choose where they go, because I don't think it's making a difference in some of these places at all.
Absolutely. So Senate President Kim Ward with us. Are you saying that this $526 million you just mentioned is going to be debated here? Again, I agree with you on the court case. I've read it several times. And you know what word comes up here that Stacey Garrity uses, and apparently it enrages the other side every time it comes up, is mediocre. We're number seven in spending. We may not even be mediocre in results. And I would say when I see Josh Shapiro, other than how he acted with I-95, and he did a good job of putting it on the web, showing people that, okay, he's been mediocre at best.
Absolutely. He's not. Tell me what he's really accomplished on his own. He's not bragging about very many things that he signed bills for, that I will tell you, that wouldn't be there. Those things would not be there if we did not have a Republican Senate holding the line and pushing for change. It wouldn't happen. He wouldn't do that. He'd be signing. We would be California, and everybody listening can believe me. If the Democrats control the Senate, we're California. So we're essentially two votes away from becoming California, because if we stop some of the crazy stuff that comes over from the House, we stop it. If we weren't there to stop it, he would sign it, because we've heard him say, well, they got to work it out and I'll sign it. He would sign it. He'd become Gavin Newsom with a different color hair and, you know, 5 inches shorter, whatever. But
well, for the record, I'm on record saying 8 inches shorter, but you can stay with the 5 inches shorter.
Well, I don't have any idea, but I'm just saying, I don't have any idea how tall either
I
am.
I have a thing about height. That's on me. Wanted to talk about this staggering number, and you guys are trying to untangle it. We know, and everybody on record, of course, a man and his family, this horrible incident, we want him to be safe, but we don't have a lot of details on the state police and accountability. And certainly we don't have a lot on why we need to spend $32 million more in security.
Well, we spent $32 million on the governor's mansion that will be there for this governor. I know he put in bulletproof windows, and but it'll be there for this governor, and it'll be there for governors to come. And, you know, it's excessive. It sounds very excessive to me, but, you know, we're public. It's transparent. I don't know what they did. I guess bulletproof glass through the whole thing, an impenetrable wall. I don't know everything they did. We want them to be safe. That's the taxpayers. That's a taxpayer's asset. It doesn't belong to the governor. So I think they spent excessively, but it belongs to us. It's not something that he gets to benefit from, as opposed to his personal home.
Yes, so, and have we untangled that? The figure I see out there, President, is about $1 million plus. Do we know what that bought and why it's necessary? Because he does get to keep that.
He does get to keep it, and I think you're spending more to upgrade the security on that home than that home is presently assessed at. Now, that will go with the house. I mean, that will go with him. And I'm not sure what they spent it on. And I've said this before. I have a pretty large house. I have lots of windows and doors. And I just did an upgrade to my security system. And I keep upgrading. I started it last October, and they're coming back in a couple weeks. And I spent $10,000. And I have every window in my house is monitored. Every door in my house is monitored. I've got glass break. I got motion detectors. I've got cameras everywhere. I have everything. I have so much it makes me feel secure in my house. I'm a scaredy cat here when I'm by myself. So I can't imagine for the life of me what we spent over $1 million. I can't imagine what that cost is. I don't know. I guess, some of that stuff was subpoenaed, and we'll see.
Absolutely. Now, as we go forward to the campaign, and there has been this edge with Shapiro, which as a progressive Democrat, you think other women would call him on it. When it comes to women, and you've been one of the main ones, the governor seems to have a bit of an edge, is the way that I would put it. And Stacey Garrity running against him, I think this might be part of the campaign of what comes up.
So the left is very disciplined, And even though they may not like what Josh Shapiro does, mm-hmm. they're going to defend him forever. You know, when you look at his record with women, remember just the comments he made about me. Consider the source.
Yes.
Really? Because I was asking questions. You look at, they deleted emails from the sexual harassment case that occurred in his office, right? He took $2.1 million from Reid Hoffman, who was named 2,600 times in the Epstein files. And, you know, he took the money. And while he's taking money from that guy, he's saying he's running on moral clarity. Seriously? Moral clarity? And you're taking money from this guy? He ought to take that money, $2.1 million, and he ought to give it to the rape centers. He ought to show that he cares about victims, because he talks about victims all the time. Let's do it. Go give that to the rape centers. Take that dirty money and give it to an organization that could use it.
Yeah, for listeners, Reid Hoffman, the LinkedIn guy, gave him that money. And you're right, he may not have known anything about him. Who knew at that point? But what usually happens, right, particularly if you're running a certain kind of campaign, is you say, I'm not going to give it back to him, but I'm going to put it to public use. And what better than what you just suggested?
Rape centers.
Yeah. Do you get any reaction when you say that? Is the media asking about that? Does he say anything?
No. Nope. And the other night a station ran stuff and I said that they didn't even run that part. So, you know, it's anyway, well, we'll see. We're going to, this just continues. He does things while he's talking about morality that don't match what he's talking about. None of us are moral. We've all sinners. God forgives us. You know, none of us run on being a higher moral standard. And the truth about all of this stuff coming out with the mansion, I just wanted to give a shout out to Senator Jared Coleman.
Yes, he's been on with us.
He's like a dog with a bone, that guy. When he gets something, it is, that's it. He's not giving up. And I'm glad he's my friend.
Well put. So for you and the Senate, and I think you come up with a great way of encapsulating it. If the Senate is not there, if we don't hold the Senate, then Pennsylvania will become California. He'll sign it. Matt Bradford will tell him, sign this, and he will. What's coming up in the Senate right now? What's the major thing for you coming up?
Well, the thing that we're working on that's going to is taking all of our time will be the budget. Again, I mean, we just finished a budget 3 months ago, and here we are. It's a continuation of where we were. We still don't have the money that the governor wants to spend. We don't have any more money now than we did. Now, our revenues are coming in higher, but we're not going to know those numbers until later, till the summer, because we don't know what we're going to get in February, March, April, May, June. We don't know. So that will be the overwhelming thing that we work on. It will be the budget, and it will take a lot.
Yeah.
This is not easy. This is quite the challenge.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. I hope when you're in Philadelphia, we can talk with you in person. We really enjoy every time you come on the station.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Senate President Kim Ward here on Talk Radio 1210. $32 million. They're not involved in the private thing here I've been talking about with Shapiro endlessly, which each day grows more ridiculous with this family over in Abington. It's unbelievable. You heard what she said about school choice. That is spot on. That's where we are. What will he do? And the stuff with women is legendary. All right. Right now, though, before we do anything else, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
And today we're playing for a pair of tickets to Love Always, an evening of romance inspired by the great American songbook, Broadway, and classic pop. This Friday, we love it, February 13th, where? The Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County. For tickets and more information, visit bucks.edu/tickets. Emery?
All right, Dom, so today on the Money Melody, today on the side question, we're asking for something associated with the West, whether that's the old Wild West or the new West. So I'm going to play you a music artist from the West. This California-born music artist.
Okay.
Has the middle name of Pirate. She is a vegan, and she is a Grammy winner. So I feel like that's a big trifecta for the California right there. If you're vegan, you win a Grammy because, you know, who doesn't win a Grammy at this point?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to play you an acoustic cover she did of Elvis's Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I want to know the name of this Grammy-winning Grammy-winning artist whose middle name is Pirate.
Pirate. Ah, unusual. Okay. Only fools
right now, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Let it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with
I guess you have to see it rather than hear it. This is a little tough here.
Well, yeah, this was from an Instagram Live some time ago. Just, you know, riffing. So, yeah, I want this Grammy Award-winning vegan artist from California whose middle name is Pirate.
All right, 855-839-1210. Do that. Still time. You can get to the Zlock tomorrow night for a great night on February 13th. 855-839-1210. That's how you do it. Jump on board right now.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
It's Dom. Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right. It is Dom time at 855-839-1210. Let's hear today's clue.
Only fools run.
Vegan Grammy winner here.
I'm Pirate, middle name.
And the middle name is Pirate.
Wild Bill in Westgrove. Hi, Bill. Who is it?
Oh, I hate to say it's Billie Eilish.
All right. I wouldn't have guessed that. Well, that is certainly with the West and the Old West and land and all, that's a good choice today.
Yeah, why not?
So, Billie Eilish gets you to the Zlock tomorrow night. Great, we love the Zlock. Any chance we have every time we go there, great stuff. Okay. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get on board. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Fred Herron, former sheriff over in Bucks County, and just ask him simply, and then we'll go from there, if you were invited to the school districts, what would you tell them about ICE? How about if you're going to be sanctioning all these walkouts, is that not a teachable moment for these school districts? They're sanctioning it. Oh, we're putting the cops out there. You can do it. Please try to abide with this. There'll be no discipline. Okay. Does it tell you something that this might be on an educational level? Meaning, if you're going to allow this with no discipline, first of all, in Texas, they take away the state money if you do that. Wouldn't it be a good idea to get both points of view? So if you're in Bucks County, Fred Herron, Danny Seisler, together, or whatever. In other words, we hear when we have the superintendent on from Upper Darby, well, they're afraid they're going to be out there with signs, First Amendment and all that. I didn't hear anything about anybody wanting to educate. And I realize the tension with this, because the way that I see it versus the way I suspect Upper Darby, which is a rogue town, as we know, with ICE, et cetera, the whole place, rogue on a map, just right, Upper Darby, rogue. You can bring in both sides. In other words, if it's too controversial with teachers, whatever, wouldn't that be something you would do? You're in the business of education, facts, the things that are going on. There's opinion based in this. Rather than just carte blanche, a bunch of ignorant kids walking out, saying wild stuff, misspelling every other word, and we have to listen to them. Listen to what? Well, they're afraid about this. I'm going to ask Fred about that. What would he say if they said, well, we're afraid. You're going to come here and you're going to be snatching everybody else, and that's what ICE is going to do. Why don't these schools then, if it's that hot of a topic that we're seeing massive walkout, Pensbury, another rogue place, of course they'll go down this path. And what it indicates to me is they're not in the business of doing any of that. They're in the business in their own way of enabling anti-Trump, anti-ICE stuff, and ratcheting up the fear. Now, I'm glad the superintendent came on. He's a good guy to come on. But we really differ on this. We have a little bit later, a state senator, what, youtube.com/1210, a state senator who is someone egging fourth graders on. He's there with fourth graders at a protest, and he's asking the fourth grader for the cameras and all, tell us why you staged this walkout. The kid's pretty articulate for a fourth grader, but we're down to fourth graders now. So if the schools are going to be at this level, don't they have a duty to try to engage on the issue with these kids? Well, we can't do that because they wouldn't want to hear what a Fred Herron had to say. Oh, really? As I said, balance it with somebody on the other side. I think Fred would do it. We'll ask him. He's next. More of your calls. Hit us on the side question, Old West, New West, here on Talk Radio 1210. Let's talk for a minute, though, first. February is American Heart Month, a time to focus on total heart health. That includes exercise, heart-healthy foods, and your dental health. Plaque buildup in the mouth can lead to bacteria growth. That bacteria may contribute to serious conditions like endocarditis or arteriosclerosis. Now's the perfect time to schedule a visit with my guy, my dentist, board-certified prosthodontist Dr. Robert Bentz. At the Bentz Dental Group, Dr. Bentz helps patients improve their smiles, confidence, and overall health. And just like heart disease, dental challenges can happen at any age. So if you have concerns about your oral health, call 610-272-6949. Get that initial look-see, 610-272-6949. Visit BentzDentalGroup.com to schedule that consultation. Bentz Dental Group, say it with a smile.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, On Demand, On Demand.
Great song, Old West, New West. Today's side question. All right, we welcome back our friend, former sheriff, podcaster extraordinaire in Bucks County, Sheriff Fred Herron. Once a sheriff, always a sheriff. It's a title like colonel and all. So, Sheriff, welcome back.
Thanks, Don. Thanks for having me.
Well, Fred, when you sit here and see what's going on, Pensbury's next. I'm not sure the other schools in Bucks County, but we've reached double figures in this area. We had on the superintendent of schools. I, as a former teacher, see this as a teachable moment. They ought to address it rather than just letting kids walk out of school around this. If you were invited, maybe a debate or both sides type of thing, what would you be telling the kids about all this?
Well, I'd be telling the kids, you know, the truth about what's going on and some of the folks that, you know, immigration is going after. The same thing what we were doing in the sheriff's office. There's a lot of bad publicity out there, and I'll use publicity because they're using it in a theatrical manner. A lot of this, they want to keep this momentum going. Let's face it, this is all about the 26th election. They used it in the 25, and they're trying to use it against folks in the 26th election. But one way or the other, you got to just give the truth of what's going on out there. The people that, you know, that we were looking at here in Bucks County, the people that immigration is going after, a lot of these folks are real bad criminals. And, you know, there's also debate about, well, you know, the people that are, you know, just been here and arrested for DUI and convicted of DUI and they're here illegally, are they really bad criminals? Well, they're not until they, you know, blow through a light, you know, at midnight and kill your family. Then they're bad criminals. So it's all about law enforcement, whether you're at a federal level or a state constable, whatever, wherever you are in between, it's about preventing crime. And this, as you know, Dom, we talked about this a dozen times on your show. This is about preventing crime. This is about getting one more person off the street so they can never commit a crime or hurt anybody, citizen or not, anybody in this country that's here visiting, that's here illegally even, that's here, you know, as a U.S. citizen, that's here for work. It's about that. And, you know, they're poisoning, you know, our kids. And, you know, these high school kids, they don't understand. They just watch what they see on television. I would welcome an opportunity to come with somebody else on the other side. You know, I've done it with media. We've had, you know, debates, if you will, and newscasters that had, you know, both sides of the aisle on about these things. And I think it works out well because I understand what the other side's saying. I don't agree with them and that a lot of the information is wrong. And I think a lot of the people out there are just using it for their own, you know, their own agenda to influence the 26th vote.
Yeah. And again, Fred, my former background, how I got into this, I was an education teacher, et cetera. This is the teachable moment. When we had this superintendent on, you know, we didn't get quite into that. He kept on saying, though, well, these kids are fearful. My response is, well, that's where good information comes in. ICE is not storming high schools. And he also said, well, you know, they're going after people who did nothing wrong. Well, if you came into the country, we got to emphasize that even if you're not the most vicious criminal. Tom Homan says this in Proportion. And when I see Homan, I think of you, that, yes, we are targeting the worst here, people with severe things. But if we happen upon you, it's on the table. You are here illegally. Not that that's what your office was going to be engaged in. You were engaged with ICE in a backup role with some of the hardest things that would be going on in Bucks County. I don't know that we'll ever know by not doing that. Are we allowing more people to roam Bucks County that are violent, that are drug dealers? I mean, there's a drug dealer problem in Bucks County, I-95 and everything else.
Of course, if anybody thinks there's not a drug problem in Bucks County, you know, they've been sleeping under a tree for the last 100 years. And you know, you're better off cooperating. And Tom Homan has said it 100 times. If you just turned over your people from the jails, if you just cooperated, then we wouldn't have ICE agents on the street. You know, what I was doing in the Bucks County, in the criminal justice building, is instead of ICE going into the courtrooms, you know, that are noticeable and taking people into custody, my deputies were taking him into custody, bringing him down the back elevators, meeting ICE in our sally port, and turning them over to ICE. If we refuse to do that and cooperate, they're going to be on the streets of Bucks County. I don't think the residents understood that. They also have to understand, and I've said it also 100 times, you know, ICE's job is for anybody that's here illegally, not just the criminals. You know, local law enforcement or local sheriff's offices, I was dealing with just those people that were criminals.
Exactly.
But ICE is much broader than that, and people have to understand that. You know, there's many countries you just can't wander around if you're in that country illegally. And, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get in and out of a country. The United States, not so much. You know, I was on the phone this morning. I'm not going to mention the county, but a county in Arizona, right on our border. And I asked them, I was talking to them today, and I said, what have you seen? Have you seen, you know, less stuff coming across the border? And they said, absolutely. And the wall's getting, you know, put back up, and they've got to do some infrastructure fixing. but it's moving ahead. And you're going to see in this country, 18 months, the drugs that were coming in have been stopped and will be stopped. And all those folks that are, you know, that are in that side of the aisle, which I certainly am, because I also believe in fighting the war on drugs and helping people that are, that get addicted, you're going to see a tremendous decrease in those drugs. Now, the bad thing about drugs is you're going to see new drugs pop up that don't have to come across the border. But they're not instructing these kids. They're not giving them good information. They're letting them watch what they see on the news. And it's the same clip over and over. You can watch the same scene in Minneapolis 28 times on television. It's not new scenes. It's not 28 different altercations. It's one altercation over and over and over and over again. And the kids just aren't comprehending that. So I welcome the opportunity to come into a school and be part of a team to tell them. The schools might not agree with some of the things that, you know, I believe in, but at least give them the right information.
Yeah, Fred, you know, and you probably know some people that would debate you or give the other side. I would think Danny Seisler has been on the show, as you know, would be perfect. And let kids see those issues, decisions you'd make, how you see it. I don't even know that he's as far away here. You and I kind of agree. The election was not about that per se. It was about the Trump stuff in general, I think. And there was almost nothing you or the DA could do in Bucks County to deal with that. But I will let you know, Fred, we're going to ask some of these schools. If you want to let kids walk out, you're not afraid of doing that, even though a lot of people are against it, even though it's a safety issue potentially, then you shouldn't be afraid of bringing a resource like you in and somebody else on the other side. It's a natural.
Yeah, I you're absolutely right, Dom. Bring me in, bring somebody in, and let the kids ask questions. You know, right. I was at a community group meeting. I'm still doing a lot of going around the county. Right. I was at two groups this week, Monday and last night, and two people came up to me and said, "Boy, I never realized everything you just told us." I'm like, "Well, of course you didn't, because it doesn't make good for good TV or good politics. People aren't going to tell you that sort of stuff, and it's not possible to tell every single voter or every single resident what's going on unless I get to meet them one-on-one, and I would do that." So if somebody wants to host an informational roundtable, I have no fear of doing that. You know, the truth will always, you know, be the right thing to do. And, you know, if Danny and I were on together, you're absolutely right, Don. Our thoughts are not that far off. Danny just used them for political, you know, reasons to talk right. The talk he did. I don't think he believes that. And I know for a fact, you know, all the stuff he said, the sheriff's office is not doing anymore. We never did it. He had made statements that they're not going to stop people and ask them for what country of origin. Well, there's 80 some odd sheriffs, Don. If you could find one that said that I ever said to do that, or there was ever an order I have to do that, or anybody's ever been instructed to do that, you're not going to find that person, because that never happened. Those are just political lies, and that's what they're doing now.
I hear you, Fred. I'm so glad you're aboard. We'll make some moves here to see, but I'd be happy to moderate it or to come and tape it so we can play some of it back here. It would be informational. Yeah, and your podcast, Going Great Guns, Fred, where do we find that and what are you doing with it?
The podcast is Law & Order Plus. So I've kind of changed the name.
Okay.
Kind of brought in my my viewership. We did one since I left the office. I'm going to do a couple more. There's some things going on now that I will tell you about when I can, but I've kind of put it on hold for right this second until I get a little bit more more ducks in order. But we're really trying to build up the brand on this podcast. I really want to make it, it might be a dream that I can't fulfill. I really would like to make it a national podcast. I really want people to tune in. I really want to have some great contact, not just Bucks County. That's why we took the BUX off, and you know, it's called Law and Order.
Gotcha.
And I want to make it into something where, you know, people in California are talking about it.
All right. Well, you're a natural, Fred. You're entertaining, authoritative, and you and I have differed. People point out all the time. That's what I like, of course, back in the day on the DNA testing. Oh, that was some of the most thrilling radio I've ever done with you. And I'm saying, let's book this guy around the clock. Come on.
That may have been the first one I ever did with you. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought we had the same mindset. Not on that issue.
Not on that. Well, you know, I have to think about it. We got to go back on the particulars. But where do we find the podcast again, Fred, when it comes back? What's the title?
It's Law and Order Plus, and it's the same locations anywhere where you get your podcast, right. YouTube, you know, any of the sites where you get your podcast. All you got to do is Google that, Law and Order Plus, and you'll find the podcast. And I'm looking to start it up again. Hopefully, I mean, we have one episode out since I left the office, but we're lining some things up. I really want to make it a great, great show.
All right, Fred. Well, keep us in the loop. We'll let you know if we get a school that's willing to do this. Thank you, Fred, very much.
Thanks, Don.
All right, Fred Herron here. Let's see if there's a school out there. Come on, you can tip me if you can think of anybody willing to do it. And the other side, both of them. I think Danny might do it. All right, 855-839-1210. It is the lightning round next.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Hit us with the Old West, New West. We'll have a winner, and tomorrow we'll have the grand prize. Earl of Tacconi on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Earl, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. One of my typical stories. Amadeo Pietro Giannini went and started the Bank of Italy in San Francisco at the beginning of the 1900s. When the San Francisco earthquake hit and the city was starting to burn down, Giannini looked out his office window and saw the fire approaching. So he went and he loaded all of the bank assets into his horse-drawn cart, and basically his car, and drove all of the money to his house in San Mateo in order to save the assets. This went and allowed him to have the money to offer loans to help rebuild San Francisco. His bank was a working-class bank, mainly for Italian-Americans and working-class people in San Francisco. Eventually, he bought a smaller bank, and that bank became known as the Bank of America.
All right, that's a good one. Not a fan of the Bank of America many times, but that's a great connection.
Not a fan of BOFA?
No, a lot of stuff they're engaged in, even the legal immigration debate. Michael in Wilmington. All right, Michael, what's yours?
Good afternoon, Dom. I got a comparison, polar opposites. Lily Langtry from the Old West performer versus the actresses and activist actresses of today's West.
All right, Lily Langtry. Thank you, Michael. Bill in Bucks. This one is when you have something, it becomes a catchphrase. That's usually pretty good. Bill, what's yours?
I just wanted to say thanks for Brian Fitzpatrick's vote, number one.
Oh, yeah. We should have a parade. He voted with every other Republican here. Yes.
You're exactly right, and he's taken a lot of heat from the lower end about this. I'm telling you.
Wait a minute. That you think the SAVE Act, he's taking heat?
Absolutely. From Lower Bucks County, that's all Democrat. It's deep blue down there. You know, Falls Township, Bristol Township, Middletown Township.
I guess they want to be able to cheat in voting, and this goes against it then, huh?
And that's Bob Harvey's territory down there, by the way.
So. I'd love to have the esteemed Bob Harvey come on and tell me why we shouldn't have integrity in voting. But, Bill, what's yours today?
Mine today is gunslingers, beware. Beware of Marshall Dillon and Dodge City, Kansas. Get out of Dodge by midnight.
There you go. Get out of Dodge. Catchphrase that we've kept. Joe of Exton. All right, Joe, what's yours?
Hello, Dom. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
In 1931, the American composer Ferdy Groffay composed a symphonic poem which he titled the Grand Canyon Suite, which was a description of the landscape in the American Southwest with wild growth, cactus, and outbursts of rainstorms. This description is applicable both in the New West as it was in the Old West.
Thank you, Joe. I thought Joe might go with Georgia O'Keeffe today, but no, he went even deeper into the classics. Chef Dave closes it out in Oakland. Dave, what's yours?
Oh, I got the classic, good and old, new and old. Blazing Saddles. Candy grab from Mr. Mongo. Candy grab from Mr. Mongo. Mongo like candy.
All right. Thank you, Chef Dave. All right, Sean, who did you like today?
All right. So the first one that I did like
I didn't even know. Earl from Tyconi with the Bank of America. That was actually a really good one. And then I'm going to have to go with Gary with Newtown with Gold Rush and the Poop App.
Gold Rush to that. Yep. Henry?
Oh, man. The answer I really liked today was Robert Ben Salem's The Evolution of the Beaver Dam to the Hoover Dam.
That was quite good. I'm going to go with Sean on this one, though. Gary got the handle there of going from the glamour, at least on paper, the Old West, to the Poop App in San Francisco. Gary, your name goes into the hat. So tomorrow we'll have the grand finale up in the air. Not sure of the side yet. We got several we're working on. Follow me on Twitter at DomShow1210. I may need a Twitter expert. I was all set. Then Dan came in and talked to you to me. And I think it's working, though. Because I've seen up and down on this, so I guess it's not frozen.
Yeah.
It's the only thing
definitely not.
Yeah. All right. Follow me on Twitter. We're trying to reach a certain number to see something.
Get
at Dom
those numbers
Show,
up.
At Dom Show 1210. At Dom, yes, it is up from yesterday. Even though it went down, it's like the stock market. All right. So Mike Opelka and Linda Kearns here at Home Bates. First time together doing this.
Live and local.
Live and local. And I think that Linda will be on with me tomorrow as a surprise later in the show.
Yeah, 2:30. We got a big surprise for you.
A big surprise tomorrow on a Friday. Also, I'll be on Inside Story. You won't see it tomorrow. We tape until Sunday. And I think Josh Shapiro's on the menu. What could possibly... Larry Krasner, too. Will he run for mayor? And what I'm going to say, I'll tell you first. Please let him. You imagine the talk radio fodder, and then the day after... when Sherelle Parker beats him by 10 points. You know what would happen, Larry. Come on. You know you want to run, though. Come on. Give us a little bit of sport. Clean those glasses, Larry. Great stuff from Kim Ward today, too. $32 million on the mansion. Wow. And the Mox keep fighting that battle out there in Abington. All right. Mike and Linda are next. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.